Good morning. Welcome to Osage. I'm excited about our time here this morning. I'm excited about hearing from Brother Lanny. And I hope that you'll join me in keeping him in your prayers as he brings God's word to us this morning. So let's all stand and begin our time of worship together. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, or walk the streets of gold, or walk the streets of gold. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's grounds. We're marching through Emmanuel's grounds to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a few announcements here. First off, we'll be continuing the Revelation study tonight at 6 p.m. March 5th through the 12th is the prayer for North America missionaries beginning Annie Armstrong Easter of offering for NA missions. March 9th is a child safety meeting from 6 to 8 at the new associational office. And then April 1st is the one-day serve local mission, Act 1-8 missions project. And then children's camp is June 11th through the 14th. And then I think Ms. Cherie has something.
I'm glad he mentioned Easter, so that time of year is coming again where we're going to have an Easter egg hunt after the Easter service. So if you guys would like to start bringing eggs and candy, and also if you would like to pre-stuff the egg, that would be amazing. And also 3rd through 6th grade will be meeting today during the service, so when Children's Church goes out, 3rd through 6th grade goes through this door with me.
All right, I think that's it. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray just say thank you for allowing us to be here today, God. I pray for the families that are here and represent. God, I pray you just bless them. God, I pray for Brother Lanny as he's come to speak this morning. I pray you give us the ears to hear. God, thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dalton. Let's stand together.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises. of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
It's the only way to stand. Amen. Amen.
You have my heart, and I am yours forever. You are my strength, God of grace and power, and everything you hold in your hand. Still you make time for me, I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful is your unfailing love. Unfailing love, and you never change, God, you remain the Holy One, and my unfailing love, unfailing love. You are my rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and I sing for everything you hold in your hand. Still you make time for me, I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful is your unfailing love. Unfailing love, and you never change, God, you remain the Holy One, and my unfailing love, unfailing love. Everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me, I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful is your unfailing love, unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One, and my unfailing love, unfailing love. Praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful.
You unfailing love, unfailing love.
you remain the Holy One and my unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Amen. Amen. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go, and I see it now. Laying it down, I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. Done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Condition had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. I know I Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 and again and again. Oh, One day you'll make everything new. Jesus, one day you will bind everyone. The former things shall all pass away. No more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all. Jesus, one day every question resolved. Anxious thoughts left behind. No more fear. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. One day we will see face to face. Jesus, is there a greater vision of grace? In a moment we shall be changed. On one day we'll be free, free indeed. Jesus, one day all the struggle will cease. We will see your glory revealed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all we'll sing and shout the victory. One day we will see face to face. Jesus, is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
As our men come to receive the morning offering, we are delighted that you're in the Lord's house with us today. There is there in front of you a visitor's card that we'd like for you to fill out and drop in the offering plate as it comes by. And we're going to continue to worship as one of our men comes to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. We look so forward to that day that glorious day. Lord, at this time of offering now, just bless this offering. Bless this time that we can give back to you what you've given us. Go with our pastor today. Strengthen him. Speak to us through him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. All right. Where's he at? Walker, could you bring this bunch every Sunday? You're looking good. Yes, sir. We're glad y'all came. It's an important time. And the message that I'm going to preach after we have the dedication service, and I pray over this child, I think it's the most important message I've ever preached in my life. There is not anything that is more important than raising a good kid. If you want to raise a thug, all you got to do is just not do anything. Give them a phone and an iPad. Let them watch anything they want to on TV and turn them loose and not put any restrictions in their lives, not draw any kind of lines that they cannot cross over, and you'll raise a thug. But the Bible says there's a way to raise a good kid, and I'm going to share that with you today. I want to read a passage of Scripture that you'll be familiar with. And I'm going to preach on this passage here after we have our time of prayer and dedicate Walker to the Lord. And I hope that this will be, COVID and everything has just blowed us out of the water for about 2 years, and we haven't dedicated any kids in such a long time, and this is the first one in a number of years, and I hope this will only be the beginning of what we're going to be doing. And this is what the Scripture says in Psalms 127, and reading those five verses. It sounds like you're building a house, or you're keeping a city. But really, what the psalmist is saying is that you're raising a kid. You're raising a kid. And so this is what it says. Except the Lord build the house. Are you hearing me today? No, really, are you hearing me? Except the Lord build a house, family. Except the Lord build the house. Now, we can decide which way we want to do this. I mean, we've got choices in life. If I had my life to live over, I'd change some things about being a dad, being a husband. But I don't have, and so you have this opportunity right now that you're never going to have again. It's right now. It's not going to be later. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Can I get a witness? Any of you ever waited for your kids to get in? Waited until you heard that car door close? And then you went off to sleep? And then he gets down to the nitty-gritty, gets down to business. And he says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. I got it right that time, Lindsay. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And so now he's getting ready to really pour this out, because we're living in such a society and such a time that we have to raise our kids to love the Lord, not only just to love the Lord and be faithful to the Lord, but kids that are able to stand up for their faith. We're going to talk just a little bit later when I really get to preaching about doctrine. About when do you teach kids doctrine? When do you start preaching doctrine? Well, the Bible says, and we're going to read that in a little bit, when they're drawn from the breast. From the time they're weaned, you start teaching doctrine to them. They can learn about Jesus very, very early. And folks, you already know this. But there's a lot more caught than taught. There's a lot more caught than taught. They're going to be watching you. They're going to be watching you. Austin, Walker's going to be looking at your eyes and seeing where they're at. He's going to be noticing what you are noticing. And he'll walk in your steps. He'll take your stride. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that had this quiver full of them. Get after it! Isn't that what that's saying? Happy is the man that had his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. Now listen. This is so important. But they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. What? He's talking about kids. He's talking about raising kids. He's talking about kids that have the Word of God embedded in their heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That they've got the Word of God hid in their heart. They're Everywhere they go, as they walk by the way, as they go to bed, when they walk through the house, they're seeing the Word of God all on the walls. They're hearing their dad and their mama pray for them. They are knowing that there is a living God, and He's on their side, and they're giving their heart to Him. You think Walker will let me hold him? Come here, Walker, doggone. Yes, sir. He what?
Solid.
He's solid. Yeah. Yeah, look at me. Look at that. This is what I want us to do. Let me get my breath. He is solid. That's good. They've been feeding you good, ain't they, buddy? Yes, sir. Look at all that bunch out there. They all come to see you dedicated to the Lord. Isn't that good? Yeah. Now, maybe one of these days, you'll be behind that pulpit. About Jesus. A possibility. Maybe you'll go to a foreign field and teach others about Jesus. God has a marvelous plan for this child. This is what I want us to do, church. We're all in this together, did you know? It takes a community to raise a child, not just their family, but it takes a church. Hey, you know all these folks? Look at that. Okay, I better hurry. Let's stand together, and I want you to join hands, and I want you to join the aisles across, because we're all going to be praying together. Folks, I want you to join up here as I pray over this child. I want this mom and daddy to lay their hands on this baby. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mama, take it. Lord, we come before your throne and we pray for Walker right now. We dedicate this baby to you. We pray that Austin and Mackenzie would raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that your hand would be on them, your guidance would be on them. Lord, I pray that you'd fill them with your Spirit and anoint them to be able to raise Walker for you. As a church, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you to help them raise this baby, that these grandparents would dedicate themselves to help and raise this baby in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we dedicate Walker to you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 We've got a certificate here that we want to present to y'all. And we'd like for you to hang this on Walker's wall. And he's going to look at that one of these days and say, Mom and Dad, what does that mean? And you're going to be able to say, we dedicated you to the Lord as a baby to raise you for the Lord. God bless you all. Thank you. Good to see you. God bless you. Okay, Children's Church, we're going to give you an opportunity to join your leader. So I'd like to read this passage one more time. I've read it a number of times this past week. Matter of fact, I've probably spent more time in this message than I have in one in years in getting ready for this time together, and so delighted that this family asked me to get to be a part of this dedication of this child, and we are so glad that they've decided to do that. So take your translation, and if you would stand with me, we're going to read it one more time, and you look at it in your Bible, and I will read it from mine. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Happy is the church that has her quiver full of them too. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. You may be seated. Two things in this passage that I want us to see, and then we're going to get into Proverbs 22:6. Except the Lord build the house, the builders labor in vain. It's got to be a work of the Lord. Raising kids has got to be a work of the Lord. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And so as we dedicate our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids to the Lord, and as we pray for them faithfully, it is in the hands of the Lord. Now look with me at the book of Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs 22, and look at verse 6, a clear teaching. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've heard this preached on a number of times. I've preached on it myself a number of times. And sometimes we have the wrong idea about this verse. So I want to break it down a little bit for us. It's the word train here is in the original Hebrew, it's broken down into two words. Actually, it takes two words to create the one word. And the root is of this word train is to initiate or discipline. Some translations say dedicate. Dedicate. Isn't that a good word? To train. To dedicate to the Lord. And then the second word that it takes to make this word up is to be narrow. Now listen, I thought this was interesting. To throttle or reflex, to choke or to strangle. Now, I don't think that it meant to choke or to strangle your child when he got out of place. But what it does mean is this. In the day in which this passage was written, the Hebrew mothers did not have Gerber to go to the grocery store and pick up baby food. And so, now this might be a little choking, but they made the baby food themselves. It's kind of like the little girl that made the peanut butter herself. They chewed it up, and then they fed it to the child. But this is what they did. When they were training that child in the things that it should eat, it would take those nourishing, the mother would take that nourishing food, she would chew it up, put it on the ends of her fingers, put it in the child's mouth, put it to the roof of the mouth, and scoot it to the back of the child's mouth. And when it got so far back, it throttled. It had to swallow. And it swallowed the food until pretty soon it was eating it on its own. Train up a child in the way it should go. Feed him those things. Feed her those things that they should have. And as they are growing old, they will not depart from it. Feed them those things that they should have. Feed them the Word of God. Those things that they should have. And as they are growing old, they will not depart from it. in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And look at verse 4. And it says, let's see, let me back up just a little bit here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My wife has accused me a few times of provoking children to wrath. I remember when we had Catherine and Bo in our home, almost every night I read them The Little Blue Truck. Anybody familiar with The Little Blue Truck? Well, they couldn't read, but we read it to them so much they had it memorized. And I would provoke them to wrath because I would change the words. And they get so mad. That's not what that says. Read that right, man. It had to be read right. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture here means education or training. It means discipline. It means chastening. It means disciplinary correction. And the second part of that word is admonition. And that word admonition literally means to call attention to. It means a mild rebuke or a warning. You can't raise good kids. Now, folks, I know in this modern era that we live in, this modern age, I'm going to have folks disagree with me. But if you disagree, you're going to be disagreeing with the Bible. You can't raise a good kid without spanking it. Come on, church. You can't do it. I'm not talking about giving it a beating. I mean swatting a tiny when it does wrong. I don't know how many of my grandkids so far hadn't spanked any great. Yeah, I have too. Spanked one great grandchild. Really surprised him. Anyway, I've got two grandsons that one of them has a son. The other one's getting ready to have a son, Austin and Aaron. They were out here, and those little old boys and their grandmother had given them a bath, cleaned them all up, and they had their bicycles, and there was a mud puddle out here in front of the house, and I said, boys, you've got all this parking lot to ride in. Ride in where you want to stay out of that mud hole. Granny's already got you ready for bed. She's giving you a bath. Well, the first thing, I looked out my office window, and they was out there on those bicycles in that mud hole. I started pulling my belt out as I come out of the building. And I thrashed them to the house. Now, you think that's awful? They told on me. They told their mama on me. And they said, Papa, give us a spanking with a belt of all the things. And Lana said, was it pretty bad? And she'd had a few. She said, was it pretty bad? Austin said it wasn't that bad. Aaron said, it was too. It hurt me real bad. I'm just 4 years old. But you know what? From then on, and now, even now, when I say something, them boys know I mean business. Now, Austin and Mackenzie, he needs to know you mean business. Because there's going to come a time that you're going to holler, stop. Because you see something that he does not see. And if you don't mean business, he'll keep going. But if you mean business, when you holler stop, he's going to stop. Don't count. Of all the things, don't count. Just get it over with, of all the things, so both of you can rejoice and have a good time. I won't charge you anything for that last little bit. So how old is a child before he or she can understand doctrine? Look back in the Old Testament at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And here in the book of Isaiah, it talks about teaching a child doctrine. Get everything they can get. I'm just going to shoot straight, okay? I don't know any other way to do it. But if you don't bring your kids to anything but the Sunday morning preaching service, they're not getting much. Are you hearing me? Church, are you hearing me? They're not getting much. If all they get is just what I give them, it's not much. They need it every day of their life. They need to be in Sunday school. They need to be in Awana. They need to be in Bible drills. They need to be in summer camp. They need to get it everywhere they turn. They need to get the doctrine of the Lord. And I told this family here a while ago that they catch more than they're taught. They catch it. They see it happening. And they see the illustration. They see you worshiping the Lord. They see you giving honor to God. They hear their daddy and their mama praying. And it affects them more than anything else. The preacher's supposed to pray. But when they hear their mama and daddy praying, it gives them an impact in their life that nobody else can do in their life. We had two of our great grandsons in our home for 3 days. And it was apparent they hadn't been praying over their meals. And the younger one, he's just a year old. He didn't know what was going on. But the other one's 3. He did. He wouldn't participate. We didn't choke him and say, you're going to participate. But we kept praying. And we would hold hands. He wouldn't hold hands with us. He didn't want to have anything to do with that praying thing before we ate. But we'd always join hands, and we'd always thank Jesus for the food. And we'd do it in a very simple way. Thank you, Jesus, for providing this food for us. And that was it, you know. We didn't pray some kind of big, long theological prayer. It was just, thank you, Jesus. And every time we'd say we need to thank Jesus for the food. And in 3 days, we thought we was having zero impact on that boy. And then his grandmother come to and picked up both the boys and took them back home. And the next week, she was at our house, and she said, when we left here, we stopped at Sonic and got food. And we started down the road, and Cole said, we got to thank Jesus for this. She said, I wasn't going to pass that opportunity up. She said, I pulled off the road, and we thank Jesus for the hamburger. And we thought we was making zero impact on him. And he was listening all the time. 3 years old. I held up 2. That's 3. 3 years old. And we were having an impact on his life, even though he was not a part of that. So when can they learn doctrine? When? Who shall teach them knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Several years ago, Roy Olf, who's past gone to be with the Lord now, but he and I were visiting. Roy had had a heart attack. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, a heart attack will change your perspective on life. I had one of them a couple of weeks ago. It'll change your perspective on life. I wish that you could have the same experience that I had without having a heart attack. But my girls were with me almost the entire time. They wouldn't leave. But one evening when I was, that second evening, maybe it was the first evening that we were in the hospital. And they were getting ready to leave for the night. And one of them said to me, Dad, you want us to pray for you before we go? I said, that'd be good. My girls gathered around my bed and took their mama by the hand, bowed their head. My youngest daughter called down heaven. And I thought, we don't get no better than this. It's so good, you know. I couldn't hear everything that they said, but I thought, their mama done a good job. She raised them good. She raised them to love the Lord and to know that He answers prayer. Now, you can't be saved for your kids. But I think there is a way that you can transfer your faith. They catch hold of that. Now, don't take me wrong here. Look with me over in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And Paul is writing his letter to this young preacher, Timothy, and he is reminded of his raising. He's reminded of Timothy's raising, of the faith of his parents. And this is what he says in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now look at it. That dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Paul saw the genuine faith that Timothy displayed that first dwelt and his mother and his grandmother. He's not talking about something that they didn't have. He's talking about something they did have. You and I can put on a show, but I want you to know our kids know what's going on in our lives. They know if we're genuine or not. They look at that and they can tell. You really mean business? You mean, Grandpa, you're telling me to do something you don't do yourself? You're urging me to be a part of something that you're not a part of yourself. They know. He saw the genuine faith that Timothy had was displayed first, dwelled in his mother and in his grandmother. You can teach them to love Jesus. Talk to them about making a personal commitment to Jesus themselves. Let them hear you give your testimony about how Jesus changed your life. What has taken place in your life and what is real in your life. I had another experience in the hospital that the chaplain came to see me. Not my own chaplain, not my little girl, but the chaplain that visited people that's getting ready to die. And he asked me, was I ready to die? And I could tell he was a bit nervous about talking to an old veteran pastor about dying, but he had a job to do and he was going to do it. And I appreciated that. Well, I've got this emotional deal that's hanging on to me after the heart attack that I can't shake. And I just cry all the time. And when he asked me that, started talking to me about it, I started crying. And I said, before you came in, my wife and I was talking. I told her, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to die. God chooses for me to stay, I'll stay. If he chooses to take me, I'm ready. And then after he left, he stayed a long time. After he left, I thought, that's not what I wanted to say. I mean, anybody can say, I'm ready to go. If I would just go row to row to row to row and said, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? And you probably, whether you was or not, you might answer yes. I thought, that's not what I wanted to say. And it caught me off guard, and I didn't say what I wanted to say. So I was in intensive care. He came again. I thought, I'm going to say what I meant to say to start with, what I should have said to start with. I told him, I said, I was kind of caught off guard. But I want to say to you, I want to tell you why I'm ready to die. And if God chooses to take me, I'm ready to go. If he chooses to leave me, I'm ready to stay. He said, okay. Of course, I started crying. I'll probably cry now, but that's all right. I said to him, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. I said, I have been plunged beneath the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And that is why I'm ready to go. Not because I said I was ready to go, but because Jesus has save my soul. I've asked him into my heart as personal Savior. I've experienced in person the change that Jesus makes in your life. I can even look in the mirror and say that I'm not the same guy. I'm not the same husband I was. I'm not the same daddy I was, because Jesus has changed my life. Now, church, I want to know, has Jesus changed your life? Do you know
Do you know that you know Him as Savior? And if you don't, you ought to get saved today and invite Him into your heart. He'll change you. He'll change you for eternity and make you fit for heaven, because you're not fit for it like you are. And I'm not fit for it like I am. And the only way that I'm going is because Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I want to invite you to make a decision today. Some of you have been thinking about it. Some of you have been saved. You've never followed the Lord in baptism. You need to do that. Baptism save you? No. It's an act of obedience after you get saved. But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. Excuse me, I've got to breathe. Whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Some of you need to make that decision today. You've put it off long enough. Some of you, God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, this family here, this church, and you need to move your membership here. You haven't done it yet, but you need to. Why not start today? Why would this not be the first day of the rest of your life? Start it today. That's going to come and help us, and Monica's going to come and play. I didn't ask anybody else to come and stand, but God's going to deal with a couple of couples' hearts, and they're just going to get up from where they're at. They're going to come and stand up here with me to receive you as you come. And the rest of you are going to stand with us. You're going to worship as the song leader leads us in worship. You're going to worship, and hopefully, as God moves in your heart, that you'll come and talk to me. Or you'll come and talk to one of these couples that are here to assist you and pray with you. If you got a family member you want to come and pray for, one of these couples that are here to meet you and greet you and pray with you. If you got a situation going on in your life that you'd like to pray about, you'd like for one of these couples to pray with you about and just talk to God for you, pull down heaven on your account. They're here just to do that. And so I'm going to ask you to let go of your pride this morning, your arrogance, and dismiss that and step out from where you're at. Come to where I'm at up here. Give your heart to Jesus if you haven't done it already. Make that decision that God is leading you to make this morning. As we sing, you come.
I have heard the voice of Jesus calling clearly, follow me. No one else could ever promise life eternal and so free. All to thee I give my all to thee. All to thee, thine only will I be. All to thee, O Christ of Calvary, my prayer shall ever be, my all to thee. Though unworthy of salvation, Jesus sought me for his own. Cross he died to save me. Now I long to make him known. All to thee I give my all to thee. All to thee thine only will I be. All to thee, O Christ of Calvary, shall ever be my all to thee. Only Jesus is the answer for the happiness we see. He alone can lift life's burden and give strength unto the weak. All to thee I give my all. All to thee, thine only will I be. All to thee, O Christ of Calvary, my prayer shall ever be my all.
Let's bow. Our Father, we thank you for visiting us this morning. We felt your presence in this mist. And Father, there are decisions that should have been made, and we just plead for another opportunity that they might have to have a personal relationship with you, that they might be that which is pleasing to you in the lives as you walk with us daily. And Father, we just pray for a closer walk with you, that we lean on you each day of the week as we live our life and we lead families, our children. Father, we thank you for Brother Lanny and the message that he brought today. May we have ears to hear that we might apply it to our lives. Go with us, lead, guide, and direct us, Father, and keep us safe. We might come again to hear your word. These things I pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.